Steph got up this morning and thanked people that were involved with Take Five, our community outreach group that was happening this year. It was a great time, and I enjoyed all the speakers. They were great to listen to. In fact, not this time that we've just had, but the previous time, we had Lloyd speak. And Lloyd talked about the power of story. And it really got me thinking, how does God use story in our lives? See, I don't know about you, but I love reading the Bible. In fact, I love Revelation. I love when you read it and God just quickens something. Something comes alive. But I started to think about the Bible that God has given us. See, I don't know about you, but I find some parts of the Bible a challenge to read. Like, get into Leviticus, and it's like, dear Lord, why did you write all this down? You know, facts without story can be a challenge. And I don't believe that we're meant to just have all the facts without the story, without an awareness that God is very real and he lives in real lives and makes real things happen for real people dealing with real issues. See, I find that the Bible is actually full of stories. Anybody got a favourite? About 3-4 people. What's your favourite one? Lachia? I'll come back to you because I saw that hand up. Okay, David. Samson. Okay, another one. Lloyd. Who? Prodigal son. Another one. Annette. Awesome. Louise, Joseph, Karen. Joseph, too. Oh, he got two. Did you come up with one, Lachia? Isaiah, Zechariah. Oh, she's got a whole lot. Okay. Awesome. Wasn't just about a person, but it was about thing. Lachia, Smitter? Saul to Paul. Oh, that's a great story. Nehemiah. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it?
My favourite was the grapes that were that big.
Well, I believe that God loves story. In fact, he's given us the Bible, but do you know that God is writing stories? God's writing your story. If you're not sure about that one, let's have a look at Revelation 20. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." Do you know that God's got heaps and heaps of books? I don't know what the books look like. Some people say that they look like scrolls, and our Bible talks about scrolls, but I almost wonder if John, who saw some of these books, saw scrolls because that's what they had in their day. If God had shown him a book like we think of a book, John probably would have gone, "Well, what's that?" What if he showed him something like an iPad? John would have gone, "I have no idea what God has in heaven." So he showed him a scroll. And there is one really, really beautiful, important book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It has our names in it. In fact, if it doesn't have your name in it, there's big problems. It's one book where you want to find your name. Who remembers back in the day when university results were put in the newspaper? Some of you can remember that. I know that we're in the time of exams at the moment, and you've got students sitting exams everywhere. I remember back in my day when I was at university, you sat your exams and then the newspaper came out. And you sat down with that newspaper and you found your paper. And then you read through the alphabetical list of names. And if you didn't find it under the A section, it's like, oh, well, hopefully it's in the B section. If you didn't find it in the B section, you started to get worried. I remember one year I had flatmate. Her name, last name was Capon. My last name was Campbell. So we did inorganic chemistry together. Oh no. We sat side by side. The lecturer would teach everybody else. Then he would come and help us too, because we had no clue. So when I sat that exam and the newspaper results came out, I read through. I didn't bother about the A's. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to be in there. I was real hopeful for the B's. I didn't really think I'd be in there. I went through the C's, got through, found Heather's name, but her name's after my name. Went back through, I read that thing over and over again, and my name wasn't there. And it's like, what do you mean my name's not there? What does that mean? It meant I failed. That's what it meant. And that I did not pass my inorganic chemistry. That's all right, I recovered. But there is a far more important list. And it doesn't matter whether it's somebody you know, somebody you care about, if their name's in the book, that's great. But is our name in the book? That's the first thing. See, it's not going to be enough to say to the Lord, well, my husband was a Christian. My mother prayed for me. Big thing is going to be, is our name in the book? That's the first thing. But it says that there are other books. And it's the other books that I want to talk about this morning. Because I believe Papa wants you to know that he's writing your book. He's writing about your life. Now, we have many people who write stories about their own life or somebody else's life, and some of us get to read them. But I wonder what it would be like to read God's book about our life. See, I think it would be written from a very different perspective from what we write. In fact, I know so. Because I've seen in the Word of God how God takes things and his perspective on it is different from our perspective. So I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about reframing our story and getting a little glimpse of what it is that Papa writes about us when he writes our story. Because our story will last for eternity. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to read each other's book. That's going to be fun. Some of you are thinking, oh, no. It's all right. It's going to be a glorious story. And I hope by the time we get to the end of this meeting, you're going to be going, yeah, I want to read my book. So let's start, first of all, was an example of somebody in the Bible that God took their story and gave us a glimpse of how he saw it and how he rewrote their story. So we're going to start with a lady called Sarah. Now, this is Abraham and Sarah. Behind them, dressed in white, is God Almighty, the Lord. Turns up with a couple of angels. So let's pick up the story, Genesis 18, verse 9. Then he said to him, that's Abram, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Now Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" In other words, I couldn't have kids when I had my regular cycle. Now that's all past. It's gone. You're joking. God makes a statement. She starts to laugh. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" You know you're in trouble when God asks you a question. "Saying, surely I shall bear a child since I am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." I want you to put yourself in Sarah's shoes for a moment. Number one, God turns up at the door with a couple of angels. And your husband says, "Well, come on in and have a meal." Now, some of you ladies are thinking already, "Dear Lord, I've been in some awkward situations before when somebody's turned up on the doorstep and I'm supposed to feed them, but this is God. God's coming to have a meal at my house." I don't know about you, but I find that slightly freaky, okay? So that's number one. So God hangs round. How do we know he hangs round? Well, she makes bread. You ever made bread? Okay, that takes a while. Not only that, but they went out and they killed an animal and they prepared it and they cooked it. I'm from a farm. I know that's not a 5-minute job. It's hard work. I mean, what would you do with an angel, a couple of angels and God standing there waiting for you to cook the meal? Yeah. John said, "What small talk are you going to have?" Now, the Lord starts speaking to Abraham. Now, Sarah being a normal, typical wife, she wants to hear what's happening, right? So she goes and eavesdrops on God. She goes to the curtain and it's like, "What are you saying out there?" Then God says something and she laughs in unbelief. It's like, "You got to be joking." So she's eavesdropping on God. She laughs at what God says. And then when God says, "You laughed about what I just said," she says, "Oh no, I didn't." She lies. I don't know about you, but that's kind of quite a mess to be in, wouldn't you agree? See, God's very real about the people he deals with. He doesn't give us the G version in the Bible. One of the biggest problems I had with reading the Bible to the kids when they were little is when I got into the Old Testament stories, it was this, "Oops, I can't read that to them. I can't read that to them." Because God doesn't gloss over things. He deals with real people in real situations. And God knows exactly where you are. But I want to encourage you this morning that God's rewriting your story. He's showing it from a different perspective. How do I know that? Well, if I take you over to Hebrews 11, verse 11 says this, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." What an amazing statement about this woman who messed it up big time. I'm sure after the Lord and the angels left, I'm sure she was going, "Oh, why did I do that? Oh, that was so stupid. I lied to God." I mean, really? But the story that will last and that God has written about her is about how she received faith herself. She didn't borrow Abraham's faith. She didn't say, "Oh, well, God told you, so I guess it's going to happen." No, she herself had faith. And she herself received strength to conceive. See, God wants you to receive for you, right where you're at, right what you're dealing with. But he doesn't want us to be replaying over and over in our mind the things where we kind of messed it up and didn't do it right. Papa wants to reframe our story. He wants to give us a different angle on the story that we have. See, when you reframe something, you change the angle that you look at it. We've just had the Rugby World Cup. Yeah, I knew that would wake some of you up. Yep, I got them on board now. That's good. There are times when we watch the game down at the level of the players. But there are other times when they reframed it for us and they gave us an overhead view of what was happening on the whole field. God wants to give us an overhead view of our life and what is happening in our life, because sometimes we are so caught up in the things that we didn't quite do right. And we relive over and over in our mind, "Oh, I didn't do this right. Oh, I said that. Oh, that was so dumb. Why did I do that?" And we relive our story over and over in our own mind, but it's not the story that God holds of us. And it's not the story that he wants us to be repeating. See, the first thing I believe that God wants to do is to reframe our story from failure. Oh, who's had that? A few brave people. I thought that would have been something. Well, let's rephrase it. Who hasn't had any failure? Don't live in the story of your failure. Live in the story of your heart towards God. And your growth in him. And how God is taking you from glory to glory to glory to glory. And if you look at your own life and you see where you've messed up, where you haven't done it right, I encourage you, be like Sarah. Start talking about the faithfulness of God. We mess up, we fail, but God does not. He's faithful. Well, I want to have a look at some other stories in Hebrews. Ray touched on Hebrews this morning when he talked about thankfulness and believing that he is and that he's a rewarder. That's one verse we're going to skip out. You're going to be able to put that in at the right place. So I'm going to have a look at these different stories that God gives us in Hebrews 11. Because you guys called out different stories, and I'm sure most of us here will know the behind-the-scenes story, but let's look at what God says and how he reframes our stories. So the first one that we're going to have a look at is Hebrews 11:4. Says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. Our story's eternal, folks. And here it talks about Abel. Well, what happened with Cain and Abel? The story that it focuses in on here for us is that Cain did what he could. He brought the produce of the ground. He brought his self-effort. What did Abel do? He went out to the flock and he got a lamb. And he sacrificed the lamb that spoke of what God would do for him. See, it's the second thing now. God wants to reframe our story from what we did to why we did it. Why did Cain go and get the produce of his hands, the work that he had done? Because in his heart, he wanted to be self-righteous. He wanted to be able to reveal who he was. Abel said, owner, bring a sacrifice that speaks of what you've done. See, Jesus said, don't judge anything before the time till I reveal the hidden motives of the heart. Even been criticized for doing something wrong, but you did it for the right reason? I can see quite a few nods around here. People don't see the motives of our heart, but God does. And the story that he's writing of you is about the motive that you had for doing what you did. Don't beat yourself up over things that have been misunderstood by others, because God has seen your heart and he's writing the story about your heart. Let's look at the next one. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What did Enoch do? We don't know anything about what he did, except he walked with God. Some of us begin to wonder, does my life count? What have I done? I've had these many years. What has my life counted for? Oh, you've got a life that will be spoken of for eternity. Why? Because if your heart is to please God, that is the most valuable thing in heaven. And Papa loves to write about your life and what you have done to please him. Maybe it's just getting up in the morning and praying and saying, God, I want to spend some time with you. Maybe it's that time when, I'm not going to watch that movie. And you spend some time reading a Christian book. See, we can think that none of these things count. Let me encourage you, they do. They're already written in your story. They're already part of your book. things that you haven't even taken notice of. Jesus said, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name to a little child and not receive a reward. It's part of your story. You're going to read your story and go, wow, I forgot that. Yeah, that's right, I did do that. And Papa's writing that down. Why? Because he's a rewarder. Why? Because it's part of the glory of who you are, that you would do things that other people wouldn't even think of doing. They're out there just wanting to make a name, wanting to be a success. Some of the people who are going to be absolutely glorious in heaven are going to be people we've never heard of, but they've given their life to simply walk with God. That story will be amazing, and Papa is loving writing it. It's part of reframing our story from performance to relationship. See, as I look around the room here, I know that there's people here, you've lost loved ones. Or maybe it's just your kids have grown up and left home. And some of the precious memories that we hold in our hearts are when we look back and think about, oh, I remember that time that we did such and such together. And it may be just a small thing. Maybe it was a time that you sat on the beach together and you shared some memory, or you just did something together. Those are the things that you cherish. Well, let me encourage you, Papa cherishes those things too. That time in the morning when you get out of bed and you just sit down and you're trying to get your eyes open. It's like, oh, I guess I better spend some time with God. And you try and read something and try and pray something and you, oh, I better get to work now. And you leave and you think, did that count for anything? You better believe it did. Because Papa's writing your story. And all of heaven saw and hell noticed that you turned your heart towards the Lord. Song of Solomon puts it this way. It's a story of God's love for us. And he says, one glance of your eyes and I'm undone. Oh, we've been like that with people that we're in love with. They just look at you and give you a little smile. A little wee flash in the eyes and it's like, wow. That's what you do to Father God. That's what you do to the heart of Jesus. That's what you do to the Holy Spirit. Every time you turn your heart towards him, his heart is thrilled and those moments are captured by God. And those moments will last forever. Because God says, I'm going to write about them in your book. It's different from the book we would write. But it's God's book. And one day I believe he'll give it to you to read. But I think God wants us to have a little bit of a glimpse into our book before then. Because some of us are reading a trash version of who we are. It's time to start reading a heavenly version. Okay, I think this is the last one we're looking at. Noah, verse 7. We skipped verse 6. That's what Ray brought out. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah built an ark. He built a boat on top of a hill, away from water, at a time when nobody had ever seen rain. Everybody thought he was crazy. He was the running joke of the area that he lived in. Why? Because he listened to a God that nobody else was listening to, and he saw something that nobody else was seeing. And many of you here are living in situations where you see and you believe and you hear things that others around you do not hold to and they do not believe. And maybe you're the brunt of jokes at work. Maybe you've got relatives who don't understand. Let me tell you, Papa's writing your story. And he's writing the story of the strength of courage that you have to be you. To stand up for what you believe. To speak up when it's easier to remain silent. To keep going when, why bother? To seek for God rather than comfort. To go after the things of God and not just sink back into the silent majority. I think Papa wants some people here to know he's proud of you. He loves your story. Reframing our story from the seen to the unseen. We're meant to be living by the unseen. We're meant to be living by the eternal. Papa wants us to live a great story. See, there's chapters in your book that you're yet to walk into. And Papa wants you to know it's a good story. You're going to love it. But it takes courage to step out and go for the things of God. Because we live in a world that thinks that's crazy. We live in a world that says, just be PC. Sit down, be quiet, don't make waves. But God's looking for people who will write a great story. And it says an interesting thing here. It talks about, where does it say? By which he condemned the world. That's an unusual statement. We don't think about it. We think, oh, God condemned the world in the time of Noah. No, actions of faith were what condemned them. See, one of the reasons people won't like you is because your actions challenge them. Your faith condemns them. Because they don't live for a God that they can't see. They live for a God of self. And to see somebody who will keep going, keep loving, keep doing what's right when it's easier to compromise is a challenge for people. But God wants you to know he's writing the story of your victory. He's writing the story of the overcomers. Yeah, that was a good place to say amen. I do have one last story. How are we going time-wise? Yep. Verse 11. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Oh, how much we want to be able to know, to understand. God, tell me what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Just give me a list. How's that working for you? Doesn't happen. Why? Because God's looking for a relationship. He's looking for sons, not servants. And he wants to reframe our story from knowledge to trust. See, it's not about what we know, but who we believe. Doesn't matter whether you know, doesn't matter whether you understand. What matters is, can you trust God in the midst of the journey? Because it is a journey. Abraham and Sarah set out. They didn't know where they were going. And many times we don't know either. But we've got a God who knows, and a God who will lead, and a God who wants to write a glorious ending to our stories. It's not time to park in the desert. It's not time to say, oh, well, done enough, I can camp here. No, God wants to take us the full length of the journey. I love what Paul said. Paul said, I've finished my race. There is laid up for me a crown. What we do here will count for all eternity. It's time to run well. It's time to say, God, I've seen my story. I've seen it over and over in my mind. But in closing, I believe God wants to reframe your story from your version to his version. So let's quickly look at how he wants to reframe our story. From our failures, times we've missed it, we messed up. He wants to reframe it to growth and success. You are an overcomer going somewhere to happen. You're not a failure. You're not the mistakes of the past. You're the promise of your future. Secondly, from what we did to why we did it. Live from your heart. It's a great place to live from. Thirdly, from performance to relationship. The scripture that we started with in Revelation says that they were judged according to what was written in their book. Why? Because they had no faith and they did not receive the gift of righteousness. They were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, they were judged according to their own work because they wanted to produce their own salvation. They wanted to measure up. So God says, okay, let's judge you according to your work because you wouldn't accept the gift I had for you. But we're judged according to our heart. We're judged by the fact that we're people of faith. We believe in God. Even when we mess up, we know that God is faithful. We know that God is good. We know that we can come back again and we can trust in him. From the seen to the unseen. Don't get so caught up in what you see in the now that you miss what God wants to show you, because he wants to show you things to come. We sang about it this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to come. Things about your story, what God has for you. Then finally, from knowledge to trust. Will you go with what you understand? Or will you trust a God who's so much bigger than what any of us can understand? He's writing your story. It's got a great ending. Most good books, when you get halfway through, you go, how the heck's this all going to work out? It can look a bit of a mess halfway through a good story. God's not finished with your story yet. If there's some pieces that are not in place, that's okay. God's still writing your story. But in closing, I'm going to encourage you just to take a couple of minutes to ask one of these questions or your own question. Suggestion for you. Papa, what's your favourite part of my story so far? And why? And speak to your heart this morning. You might be surprised with what he tells you. Or, I see my life from the perspective of my failures. What do you see? Let him show you something this morning. So we're going to take a couple of minutes. I encourage you to get out a pad, pen. I'll get somebody to grab paper and that for you if you need something to write on. We will take a couple of minutes to do this, and then we will look at having the people that are part of ministry team come up the front.